Haben wir mehr und mehr Masche machen, wir haben mehr Masche, wir haben mehr Bilder, wir haben mehr Bilder, wir haben mehr Bilder, wir haben mehr Bilder, okay, we will learn in Schuster, for Shlam of Chaim Levish Bevel Ben Sheva, along with all the other Holy Yisrael. We still need a lot of refus. Okay. Muting you all. Here we go. We are up to Daf Pei Gimel 83b. It's actually kind of interesting. There's a very important Shavuos Gemara on 88, but I guess we're not going to get there today. But you can look at it a couple, few dafim ahead. It talks all about the Har Sinai and what exactly went on at Mount Har Sinai. People are familiar with the story that Hashem held the mountain over our heads. So that daf is mamish like Sunday's daf or Monday's daf. So you want to do a little going ahead, you can do that. I also contacted ArtScroll. They said that they're not able to put together PDFs right now. If someone would want them, they said that we are allowed to copy them, which is generally not allowed, right? Because it's their material. But if anyone would want to copy the ArtScroll pages, you could, or someone wanted the ArtScroll pages, they could request them, and maybe we could work that out. But either way, here we're up to Pei Gimel 83A, and we're in the middle of our game of musical chairs, right? We're talking about different halachos, and if you're going to hold like this, you got to figure out why is it like that, and why is the other person not hold like that. So I believe we're just at the top of the daf. We just talked about Rabbi Elazar and Evan Mesama, right? This non-influenced large stone, whether or not that contracts tuma. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, according to this construct, I believe, of Rabba and Rabbi Elazar. So according to that, so what does Rabbi Akiva hold that the purpose of connecting it to Nida for? What's the purpose of connecting again? The purpose of connecting Avodah Zarah to Nida for the sake of Tuma. So the Gemara says, Lamasa, for the carrying, right? Just like when you carry, when a Nida carries something, gives over Tuma, so too the Avodah Zarah should carry something, when you carry Avodah Zarah, it will give over Tuma. So the Gemara says, Lokshin Lenevela. If that's the purpose, so then why didn't it just make a Hekesh to Nevela? So the Gemara says, Inachanami, Rabbi Kiva could have said that, Ella, but we don't want to make the false impression that they're similar to each other in another way. Or we wanted to make the added impression that Nida and Avodah Zarah are similar to each other in another way. Ella ma Nida en elevarin, Avodah Zarah en elevarin. What'd you say? Oh, you lost me? Oh yeah. So okay, fine. Sorry, I'm sorry. I guess my iPad is working as slow as I am today. The Gemara says on behalf of Rabbi Akiva.
I did not lose you, by the way.
Oh, okay. So then maybe I'm going slower than my computer. So the Gemara says for Rabbi Akiva that when it comes to the connection between Nida and Avodah Zarah, so we're going even further than just the fact that that gives over Tuma for carrying. The Gemara says, El ma Nida inan leivarin af Avodah Zarah inan leivarin. We also want to make the connection for the sake of saying that Tuma is not going to be carried over by limbs. If the limb is detached from the entity itself, so then you are not going to be mekabel Tuma from that limb. And that's why it doesn't make the connection to Nevela. So the Gemara says, Elaha, Devai, Rabbi Chama, Bar Guria, Avodah Zarah, Yeshna Levarim, El Eina Levarim. But wait a second, then we have a question, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Bar Guria, that he said, does Avodah Zarah contract Tuma for limbs or no? Limbs of the Avodah Zarah. So Tivsha Lemeha, why didn't they learn it? Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rabbi Kiva, De Eina Levarim. That according to both the Rabban and the Rabbi Kiva, that they're not going to give over Tuma. So the Rav Chama Bar Guria, Rabbi Kuraba Masni, Ubay La Libad Rabbi Kiva. It's within the Shita Rabbi Kiva, within the interpretation of Rabba. So we're not going to go through the whole thing over again because it's going to have a couple summary points in the Gemara, and you kind of get the flow anyway. So the Gemara says Meisive. Now we have another price that we have to deal with based on Rabba and Rabbi Elazar. Avodah Zarah Kesharetz or Meshamsha Kesharetz, right? We're playing musical chairs here. You take out, you focus on one element, and they have to deal with the other element you didn't talk about. So what are, wait a minute, Avodah Zarah said, the Bresa says that Avodah Zarah is like a sheretz, that it gives over tumah like a sheretz. And the service of the utensils of Avodah Zarah is also like a sheretz. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah Kenido Meshamsha Kesharetz. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, Avodah Zarah is like a nida in terms of other qualities of Tumah, but in terms of the utensils, in terms of the servicing vessels, that would be like a sheret. Bish, some other Rabbi Elazar Nicha, El Rabbi Kasha. According to Rabbi, that should be a Kasha. Presumably, I think, because he thought that everything was learned out of nida, with the paragraph right beforehand. So how could it be that we learned something from sherets? So Bishlam there was in the Khalil Rabbi Kasha Amalach Rabba. Me Alima Masnisin, is that stronger than a Mishnah? The Mishnah says the Kanani Eitzav Avana Vafarim Tamish Kesheretz. Vilkimna, and then we established that Mishnah to mean Dilomitambi Avin Mesama. That phrase means that it's not going to give over Tuma with this big stone. Hachanami Dilomitambi Avin Mesama. So to here, the connection to Sheretz, the connection from Avodah Zarah to a bug is that it's not going to be mitame when it comes to Evan Misama, this heavy stone, as we talked about yesterday. So we don't really have to justify. Rabba doesn't have to justify the connection to sherets in regards to the utensils, because he learns out the connection to sherets for something else. So Meisvei Nachri V'Nachas Avodah Zarah Misham Sheh Hein V'Lo HaSeitan. So the Gemara says that the Rabbana made Gzera against non-Jews, that they give over Tumah like a Zav, according to Rashi. So the Gemara says, Nachri v'nachri, Avodah Zarah en Misham Sheh, hein v'lo ha-seitan. They all give over Tumah, they and their movements. So now the Gemara is going to say, what does that mean? Rabbi Akiva, Omer, hein v'ha-seitan, that makes sense. Bishlam, Rabbi Elazar Nicha, El Rabbi Kasha. According to Rabba, you had just said that when it comes to, let me get this straight, when it comes to carrying, it's just as tame as anida, and here it's saying it's like a zava. I think that's the question. So, right, because hesetan means to move it, and that's similar to masa. What are you doing here? Why are you up so early? Okay, we've got company. You don't have, okay. At least he's clean. I don't know how I made it all the way downstairs by himself. Bishlam the Rabbi Elazar Nicha Rabbi Kasha. Amalach Rabba. V'litamech. Nach v'nachus nami. Heim v'lo ha-seitan. So according to you, Rabba, is it true that their movement is also going to be just as tamei as a nida v'atan diabar b'nei Yisrael? V'kom r'bnei Yisrael v'tam b'ziva. V'in goyim v'tam b'ziva. Aval gazor alen sh'yukuzem l'chol divrayim. So they made a gezer there, they're going to be like zavin, which, let me just read this Sepharia note to make sure I'm getting it right. Since non-Jews have the legal status of zav, they should transmit impurity through carrying. Therefore, the Brisa that states that Gentiles do not transmit impurity through carrying is corrupted and must be amended. Hold on, what does that mean? Okay, according to the Bryce we just said, it said lo hasetan, and here it's saying it should be like a zav, which would include hasetan, their movements. So I don't know why that's okay according to Rabbi Elazar, though. Either way, so the Gemara then says, El Rabbi Matar Satame, Rabbi says, Nachri v'nachas hein v'hasetan v'evin v'sama shalahen, that it really does include hasetan and the stone. Avodah Zarah hi v'haseta, and when it comes to Avodah Zarah, generally it's the idol and its movement of Allah Evan Masama Shalah, but not the stone. Rabbi Akiva Omer, then Rabbi Akiva says Avodah Zarah Hiva Seita Evan Masah Shalah. Rabbi Akiva says Avodah Zarah, it would be Tamei itself and its movement, or it moving you, and the stone. Rabbi Elazar Matar Tamei Nachum Nachas Hanavah Seitan of Evan Masama Shalah, and Avodah Zarah Hiva Lo Haseita. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah Hiva Haseita. Okay, so again, just musical chairs based on what you have to reinterpret. So now the Gemara goes into a different sort of independent statement, although it's going to come back to this also. Sorry, I don't feel like it's worthwhile to go into the nitty gritty every single line here. Also, it's confusing. And what did you say?
Is the mace of a non-Jew, is there tumah?
No, this is not talking about a mace. It's talking about a live body.
This whole thing of a non-Jew's tumah.
Yeah, that's different.
You know, the non-Jew's mace, it doesn't have tumah.
Yeah, no, this presumably, and I think we saw a Gemara in this, in Brachos about this, we saw a Gemara that basically you shouldn't have too close of contact with non-Jews, so they made a gzera to make them tamei d'rabbanan. We had seen that before, either earlier on in Shabbos or Brachos, I don't remember when. But once they pass away, there's no problem of being, you know, too close to them because they're dead. So it's not...
Yeah, but over here we're not talking about tumas mes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we're talking about live people transferring tumah, but the purpose of that is to stay away from them, to not be too intimate with them. So there's no problem of intimacy when it comes to a dead body. So they didn't have that. We don't have that same gezerah. So the Gemara says, "Maskev l'Rav Ashi, my hain." What does it mean, hain? Right, we had said it before. Hain v'hes seitan. They are going to contract. They're going to give over tumah, and also moving them is going to give over tumah. Presumably, the note says here, if it was going to give over tumah, if they give over tumah by movement, so then obviously they themselves give over tumah. What does it mean? Hain ve haseitan. Elo amar Rav Ashi achron. This is what it means. Goy ve goya, bein hain shehesitu es acherim, bein acherim shehesitu esan. Whether or not they move other people or other people move them, they're still going to be giving over tumah or contracting tumah. Or giving over tumah because they gave it to somebody else, or giving over tumah because somebody moved them. So the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah she'asitia acherim tahorin. If someone moves Avodah Zarah, so it's tahor. If others... hold on. No, if it moves others, so it's going to be tahor. If they move it, if somebody moves Avodah Zarah, so then that's going to be... They're going to be tameh. Meshamsha ben
heshes... What? Is the tumah that we talk about by a non-Jew something that could be potentially removed by mikvah, let's say?
It says here that it's treated like a zav. So I think a zav actually has days that it depends what type of zav, I think. But I think it has days you have to wait, and then a mikvah, yeah.
Right, so meaning that by a non-Jew, there is a way to remove the tumah by an idol, let's say. There is not. So wouldn't that in itself... differentiate because
who says we have to differentiate right now?
No, I'm saying in the whole discussion they're really different things. When we talk about is one tumah like another tumah, the fact that tumah can be removed by non-Jew through mikvah, let's say,
yeah,
wouldn't that mean that you can't start to try to compare tumahs?
No, I mean that's what we're going through now. We're going through the different details of each category.
Correct.
We're not learning one from the other.
No, but categorizing them together. Wouldn't the fact that that's... All right, never mind. Maybe...
Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. Anyway. Look at Dovi. Asher, look at Dovi. Go play with Dovi. Thanks, Dovi. Okay. Avodah Zarah Shezita Acherim Tahorim. If the Avodah Zarah moves other people, so then those people are still Tahor. But if Acherim Shezitu Osa, but if people move the Avodah Zarah, so then they become Tamisham Sheha. The utensils, Bain Hain Shezitu As Acherim, Bain Acherim Shezitu Osan, whether or not you're moving them or they're moving you, so it's going to be Tahor. Rabbi Kiva Omer Garviga Avodah Zarah, Bain Hain Shezitu As Acherim, Bain Acherim Shezitu Osan, Timein, whether or not when it comes to Avodah Zarah, if you move it or if it moves you, so it's always going to be giving over tuma. Whether or not you move it or it moves you, these utensils that you use for avodah zarah, you're always going to remain tahor. So the Gemara says avodah zarah bishlam achim shesidu asah. I understand how it's possible that you can move avodah zarah mishkachasla. That you can see all the time. People pick things up. El hishe sita sachrim heich mishkachasla. How's it possible for it to move you? What does that mean? Avodah zarah doesn't move things. It sits there. That's the whole point. That's not really an effective way to think about a god or something like that. So,
what if one worshipped a cow or an animal? You know, one worshipped a horse. That would be an object of a avodah zarah that you could ride on and could move you.
Yeah. So Rashi says specifically a chayfetz, but you'd be right. That would be right. So the Gemara says, Amrabi Bere Dravyeva Kiditznan. Like the Mishnah has Hazav Vachaf Mosayan Vachlam Ashkim Vachaf Shnia Kara Hazav Tmein. So it's basically if you're on one side of the scale and it's on the other side of the scale. I don't know how this is possible, but either way, if it moves you because it's heavier than you, and thereby the mechanism moves you up or down, so then Kara Hazav, if the Zav is it tips the scales, so then the food on the other side is going to become tamei, karu hein taharin. But if the food weighs you down, so then they're more overpowering, they're basically moving you, and therefore it's going to mean that you and they both stay tahor.
Logical thing is that the Zav is like pushing the pan of the scale with his hand. I mean, that's the logical thing. So you have the other stuff on one pan, and
right,
with his hand, he's like pushing it down. I mean, that's the only lie. He's not going to sit on it.
I don't know. It sounds like they're actually on the other side. I don't know.
It does sound like it, but I mean, it's one gigantic scale.
Yeah.
Either or the more logical case is, you know, the other stuff is on one side, and he puts it with his hand, puts a weight on it or something.
Right. It doesn't sound like that. Yeah, but
that doesn't work the other way, because it says that if the food moves him.
Right.
So obviously he's got to be on the scale. The food's not going to move him if he's pushing down on the scale.
Right.
So if someone is manipulating the scale to check his weight, let's say, and they're add on stuff.
Right.
And then it lifts him up because they put on enough to outweigh him. Then it's
correct.
I mean, I assume they had types of scales like that just to measure their own weight. It's not like a grocery scale. It's more like a doctor scale.
It's got to be a balance kind of a scale where you're weighing one pan against the other. And I guess they probably weighed large animals to decide how much it costs.
Yeah, I'm sure they had something like that.
They must have had big ones.
Yeah, I don't know. It is strange, but either way, that's how it could be that the Avodah Zarah moves you. If it's on one side and you're on the other, and then it's heavier, so that would be a way that you could have this issue. So, come on, Azla, Hadetanya, who holds the following? The following brisa, which says, Ko atumos hamesitos tahoros, all the tumos which move another person are tahor. Meaning they stay tower. Chutz me'aseder shel zav, shelo matzino lo chaver b'chol haTorah kula, except for a zav which does not have a partner in the entire Torah, meaning it's not comparable to anything else. So what does that mean? It's not like a zav. So lema de lo kareb Yekiva, dikareb Yekiva ikanami avodah zarah. If it was for meaning that the zav can make something else tameh by moving the other thing. So let's say it's not like Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva holds Ikanami Avodah Zarah. There's also Avodah Zarah, so it's not incomparable. It's the same as Avodah Zarah. El afilu tami, afilu tami Rabbi Kiva, tana zav, achol d'damila. When it says zav, it means everything that's similar to it, which would include Avodah Zarah for Rabbi Kiva. Okay. Bar Rabbi Chama Bar Guri, Avodah Zarah yeshna levar mo'ena levar. Rabbi Chama Bar Guri had asked, is Avodah Zarah like, does it have the quality of tuma for just the pieces of it that are broken off? Or does it not? Does it become tahor? So interesting logical analysis here. Maybe when it comes to a regular person who could put it back together, who is crafty enough to use some glue or something. So that's not what we're not asking that question. If it's so easy to put it back together, maybe the idol itself, it's as if it's already put back together. Such an easy process could put it back together. So the Gemara says, Kiti by luck, what am I asking? When it's not so easy to put it back together, and now it's sort of almost irreparably damaged unless you get a master craftsman that could put it back together. So maybe once it's not able to put it back together in a normal way, or by a normal person, so it's like it's always broken. Or maybe we could say that it's not missing any pieces, and therefore, even though we can't put it back together, it's still intact. We have all the pieces. So maybe some people say in the other way. When a person can't put it back together, that's obvious. that it's obviously, it's like broken, and therefore it's not considered Avodah Zarah anymore. But one we ask is when it's broken, but a regular person could put it back together. My came to hedge yachal achzira command mechaber dami, because a regular person could put it back, therefore it's as if it's already put back, and it's still going to be metame. Al dilma hashtem yaha meshalfa, or maybe we say right now it's not together, and therefore it's considered to be broken. So the Gemara does not have a resolution to that question, and Rebbe Chama Bar Guria is up a creek without a paddle. Assuming that he's not passing like Rabbi Akiva in the other situation, that it's like Avodah Zarah, where it isn't, it's not time Be'evarim. Okay. Or like,
I remembered somewhere,
yeah,
that if the Avodah Zarah is broken, it's no longer considered an Avodah Zarah, because right, surely the guy would be mevatel it, because he'd say, if it can't, yeah, even protect itself, how's it going to help me?
Yeah, so that's exactly what Rashi says over here. This is the entire question. I think he says this.
Also for the oven.
The what?
It's also for the oven for Tuma. We break open an oven, a Tuma oven, we break it.
Right.
To the point where it's not usable.
Exactly. So the Avodah Zarah, right, no one's going to worship.
So the, so I
don't know, people worship Zora, but half of a statue isn't that.
But no, but worship, so maybe, so maybe what we're saying is the level for Avodah Zarah is less, for the reason that Leonard said. If it has a scratch, okay, fine. People will say it didn't lose its Avodah Zarah power, but if it loses a significant piece, even if it's smaller than we would usually consider, maybe they would say, this, you know, what kind of idol can't defend itself? So it might minimize the amount of damage that we're talking about.
In Avodah Zarah, remember, the nose of a statue coming off would be enough by a goy.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, right, at least in the translation of Steinsaltz over here, what it basically saying is how broken is so broken that the non-Jew considers it to be nullified and unusable. So that's sort of that's what we're trying to figure out right now. Where's the threshold for that?
Okay, so he says here we're talking about an idol that is made up of different parts to be assembled and disassembled.
Uh-huh.
The question is, how difficult is it to assemble it and disassemble it? Because if it was actually broken, then right, for sure we wouldn't consider it tummy anymore. Right,
I guess that's another way to understand it, yeah. Okay, but yeah, that is the threshold we're talking about. How broken is too broken to be considered Avodah Zarah anymore? Okay. Bayer of Achadvai Bayer Ami. Avodah Zarah Pechus Megazai Zmai. Well, let's say you have an Avodah Zarah which is very small. It's like smaller than an olive. So Mahu. So Maskevler of Yosef Lamai. Elim in the Isura. If you're talking about the Isra Avodah Zarah, Lohiel is Vuv Baal Ekron. Titania, the Brisa tells us, Vayasimolem Baal Bris Lelokim. The Pasuk in Shoftim, anyone who has Shoftim Perek Ches over Shavuos will learn this Pasuk, that there was an Avodah Zarah there in that Perek that they called Baal Bris. That Vayasim Baal Bris Lelokim, Zezvu Baal Ekron. It was like a little fly. And they had this little fly, they used to put it in their wallets. Whenever they remembered it, so the that they would hug it and kiss it. They hugged it and kissed it, and therefore that's an Avodah Zarah, which is smaller than a Keziah. So why are we asking this question? It's an explicit story in Tanakh. So El in and Tuma Mai, rather we're talking about Tuma. Kevin the Iskal Shasharat Masharat Kila Dasha. Avodah Zarah Namik Adasha. Once it's connected, once Tuma is given over like a lentil's worth, so this should also be like a lentil's worth, and therefore it's not a question for that either, for Tuma. So El Odilma, Ha Iska Shlames, Ma Mes Bigzai Avodah Zarah. Or maybe you could say that it's considered like a tuma to the extent of a dead body, just like a dead body is only mitame with a kazayas worth of a dead body. Avodah Zarah with the kazayas, so to Avodah Zarah is only going to be once you have a kazayas worth. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Avi Vitim Rabbar Ula Tashma Detanya Avodah Zarah Pchus Mikazayas In Batuma Kol Ikar. They say it connects basically to a mace. So they, where do it have, and it's not going to be tame. It's not going to be mitame. Avodah Zarah is not going to be tame except if it's as big as a kezayis, like a mace. Shneamar vayishlechas afarel kever bnei ha'am ma'ameis bekezayis avodazar bekezayis, based on a pasuk in Malachim Beis. V'rabbanu l'mayhilasa iskul shesharetz, coming all the way back. Why is it that avodazar is connected to a bug? D'lo matame masa, because it's not metame when you carry it. L'nida de'enalevar, and it's connected to nida so that it's not going to be metame by limb, by detached with detached limbs. L'meis d'lo matame chadasha, and it's connected to a body, to a dead body, for the sake of not being metame if it's a lentil's worth. Emel chumra. Maybe you could say that these are all that you just to a chumra, not a kula. L'may hilchasa akash aksha rachmana l'sheretz. Why is it connected to sheretz? Tell me b'chadasha. Maybe the sheretz connection is teaching us that it's even mitzamin a small amount. L'nida l'temuli b'devin mesama. But it's connected to a nida to teach us that it's even going to mitame for this unmovable stone. Akshi rachmana l'meis l'temuli b'olal. Maybe the chumra of the connection for a mace is that it's also mitame in under a tent, under a covering. So Gemara says, no, tumas avodah zarah d'rabbanan hi. We're talking about creating a chumra d'rabbanan. Uvakula v'chumra l'kula makshinan. And when it comes to whether or not something can be connected for the sake of a chumra or a kula, and it's already a d'rabbanan, l'chumra lo makshinan, l'kula makshinan, l'chumra lo makshinan, we always are going to take the side of the more lenient approach when we're creating an issur d'rabbanan. A gzera d'rabbanan, we're going to be more lenient than more stringent, which might be in line with the concept of gzera l'gzera, that we don't want to add on too many gzeras when it comes to gzera d'rabbanan. But I'm sure there are other ways of understanding it also.
We're saying the psukim that we quoted all along are just like an asmafta?
Yeah.
It's not biblical at all.
Presumably. Yeah, and I don't think we ever quoted it. Do we ever quote? Well, we sort of quoted a pasuk in the Torah by Shakes Shaktsenu. But besides that, and even that one was really a drasha based on the Hekish. But yeah, you're right. All those psukim must be asmaftas, yeah. Okay, new Mishnah. Minayin l'sfina shi tahora. How do you know that a boat is tahor? Kind of interesting question, but it can never become tami. Shinemar derech anya b'lev yam. The pasuk says in Mishlei, the way of a ship is to be in the sea. Okay, what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to ask, pshita anya b'lev yam hi. What does that mean? Yeah, the ship is in the sea. What's the question? How come ashmalan kiyam? The question is, to what extent is the the pasuk in Mishlei is sort of saying like, what's the point of the pasuk? So the Gemara is saying the point of the pasuk is to teach us this halacha. How come ashmalan kiyam? It's like a sea. My yam tahor, afsvina tahor. Just like the water is tahor, so too the boat is tahor. So Tanya, the Braisa says, Chananya Omer Nilmedena Misak. Why don't we learn it from a sack of some kind? Masak Matata Mali Reikon, just like a sack. You carry it, whether it's full or whether it's open or whether it's empty. Avko Matata Mali Reikon, so too anything else which is carried, full or empty. La Fuke Svina de In Matatas Malaya. But as opposed to a boat, which you do not move on dry land, you don't move it when it's empty, because there's no point of it. No, so you don't carry it when it's full. You only move boats with people on it when it's in the ocean. Otherwise, it's too heavy. So Gemara says, "My binai, what's the difference between these two reasons? Reason number one being like that it's like an ocean. Reason number two being that it's not carried. It's not carried when it's full on the land. So maybe now, ikvenau sfina shel cheres. The difference would be a vessel which is a boat which is made out of earthenware. So my de amar anya b'lev yam. When a pasuk says it's in the middle of the ocean, hanam b'lev yam. He doesn't matter what material it's made of. It's put in the ocean. So the man de amar kesak, according to the opinion that says the reason it's not going to be metame is because it's like a sack, which is only taken full and empty. It's taken full and empty. Hanachu dechsivi gabe sak. It's these things, these other boats that are like a sack. To imetal tamale reikon in ilolo. Avas finish al chares. But when it comes to a boat that is made of earthenware, afagav to imetal talis malaya. If it's presumably it is, even though it's not carried when it's full, it would still be become tame, because cheres generally, I guess, cheres is something you move around. Is that what it's saying?
But it's saying Svarya says that it's not specifically cheres; it's anything non wood. So it's not just the properties of cheres itself.
Okay, but what's the point at the end?
Right.
Because that because it's non wood, then what?
Because it can become pure for another reason altogether.
Okay, but what about this Gemara? Does anyone know how to understand this line?
No, it's. I mean, to me, it's confusing because we're comparing apples to oranges.
Well, we are. Well, that's the whole point of the Gemara is trying to sort of discern that. What does the article say about this last line? Even though it's not taken full. I'm sorry, I didn't look this up before.
She says the pasuk in which wooden utensils are compared to a sock reads, you know, talking about Thomas Sheretz, whether it's a wooden utensil or a cloth or a hide or a sack, thus equating it through Hekesh, a wooden utensil to a sack. The verse thereby teaches that wooden utensils, as well as the other articles mentioned, do not acquire Tumma through contact unless they can be classified as a container.
Right.
It defines a container as a vessel whose intended use entails that it be carried while full with other objects.
Right.
An article that does not meet these criteria, for example, a wooden implement that does not possess a receptacle, or a vessel that is too large to be carried while full, or a vessel that is not intended to be moved, will not be susceptible to Tumas Sheretz.
And when it comes to Cheres, it's categorically within the category of Tumah because it's earthenware, not wood.
Right, because that's not included in the pasuk. The pasuk is only talking about this exception for wooden or cloth or hide or sack.
Where was there a pasuk for the sack part?
It says Leviticus 11:32.
Uh huh. Is that? I don't see that anywhere. Rashi doesn't say that.
The Gemara itself says that.
What?
In other words, it says that it's anything that is connected in the pasuk with sack would be in that same category.
It says nil medenami sack. So you're saying that's referring to a pasuk.
Right.
I mean, Rashi uses the word huksha, which means a hekesh. So I guess there is a pasuk. I don't know. It doesn't say it in the Gemara. That's kind of interesting.
It doesn't quote the pasuk.
Okay. Either way, yeah. So then, so cheres is not within that hekesh, and therefore it's not a problem. So the Gemara then continues, Inam is finas hayarden, or an alternatively a ship from the Jordan, which is also, I guess it's a small boat, says Sefaria.
Yeah.
Laman damar anya believe yamhi, according to the opinion that says the boat, the boat in the water, just like the water is tahor, so to the boat tahor. Hanami anya believe yamhi, so to this kind of boat goes in the water. Laman damar mitatzas malavirekan, according to the opinion that says it has to be this category of full and empty. Hanami mitatzas malavirekan is this too is carried full and empty, and therefore it's going to be tame. As opposed to the wooden boat. The Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, ben Akavya, Mibnei Ma Amr Sfina Sayarde in Temea. How do we know that the Jordan boat is Tame? Mibnei Shetoan Mosabi Abasha, you carry it with, you carry it, which is carrying things, on dry land. And then you can put it into the water, like one of those transition boats. I don't know if you ever take those duck tours. Are you familiar with duck tours?
Yeah.
I don't know where I went on one. I was like, scared the first time I saw it. Like, we were driving, and we were just going into the water. Like, wait a second, no, you can't do that. We're in a vehicle. It doesn't go, and then obviously it worked. But anyway, that's what it's talking about. That's a Jordan boat.
But here it could even just be talking about a canoe. In other words, you're not going to take a canoe into the ocean, but you can take it across the river. That's something that you can then pick up and carry with you.
Right. It doesn't sound like you're carrying it. It sounds like you're still going in it.
It's Rabbi Steinzelt says that it's loaded on land and then placed full in the water.
Right, it has stuff on, or has stuff in it while you're on dry land. So it's not just that you're carrying the canoe. But yeah, there are more uses for a canoe because it's flexibility. I don't know. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Olam Al Yimna Adam Esatz Mebeis Hamedrash Hilsha Achas. A person should never leave the base medrash. Good muster for Shavuos. Well, not this year's Shavuos, but a regular year's Shavuos. Never leave the base medrash. Sherei Kamashanim Nishnez Mishnezu Beis Medrash.
We brought the base medrash with us.
Exactly. Exactly. Like that Sfasamus we talked about a few weeks ago. But either way. That so many years we learned this concept in the Beis Medrash and we didn't understand it until Reb Chanina ben Akavya came along and taught it to us. So you never know what chidushim are going to come out of the Beis Medrash every single day. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. And you should never stop learning. Good for this one's a good one for even this year. You shouldn't leave the Beis Medrash. Also, you shouldn't stop learning. Even when you're going to die, this is the Torah. A person when he dies in a tent. I think this pasuk is in a few parshios from now. So a couple parshios from now. So the connection between Adam Kiyamus Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamus. This is a Torah even when a person is dying. So Amar Rabbi Shlakish, Ain Divrei Torah Miskayim El Misha Meimis Atzmo Leha, that the Torah is not Mekayim. The Torah does not endure unless a person is willing to kill themselves over it. Doesn't mean literally, but it means you have to really work at it. Shenamar Zasar Tamil Yasmo Oel, that a person has to die over it, and hopefully those who are going to try and stay up tonight will feel that feeling of dying over the Torah, because oftentimes that's how we feel when we're just pushing ourselves to the limit.
This is a very, very harsh judgment to say that a person who really works at it gets a lot more merit, as understandable. Basically, you say that a person who enjoys going and listening to shiurim, they sit back, they listen, they enjoy it. It makes it sound like they get basically nothing at all, nothing enduring at all. Very harsh judgment.
Well, you get something, it's just not Mekayim. It's not Mekuyam. It doesn't endure. I don't know how. There's flexibility in that word. Yeah. I wouldn't interpret it the harsh way, but yeah, it's definitely it's saying that we should do more than encounter with Torah. We should really, delve into it. Anyways, everyone should have atzlacha, mirtz Hashem, with learning tonight. Please continue to sign up for this Nevi'im pursuit to learn all of Yeshua and Shoftim together as a shul. It does not require a big sacrifice, a big engagement, but maybe you can delve into it, and you can kill yourself that way by delving into it, but you can learn other things over Shavuos and mirtz Hashem. Even in our independent homes, we can feel connected and,